That's Dr. Raymond Hamdan Day. Yes, clinical and forensic psychologist based at the Human Relations Institute. He's here to take your questions this morning on any issues you may be facing in your private life with regards to relationships or in within yourself. If you are suffering mood swings or even depression. Yeah, but, and if you want to connect with us through our website, dubaii1038.com, there's news features, there's blogs from the presenters. So yeah, click on Dubai Today and you can get updated with what I'm up to the rest of the week. You can also tweet at Suzanne Radford. We've started off this morning talking about blame and scapegoating, and many text messages are coming in on this topic. Before I get back to the text messages, I just wanted to identify a scapegoat. Are there certain people that set themselves up to be the scapegoat more than, say, other individuals?
Yeah, sometimes they can. People will do this. Sometimes this, of course, is unconscious. It's not always conscious. And what happens in these situations is that people will do things without realizing what is actually happening. And for instance, some people tend to be somewhat seductive, and they don't want to admit that they're being seductive. It's an unconscious process to be accepted, to be seen and noticed and valued and seen as beautiful or whatever. Men and women do this too. It's not just women. But then they'll set themselves up for a situation that is uncomfortable and then deny that they ever had anything to do with it. And it's kind of an irony. It's kind of like girls who wear tops that have a lot of words on the front, and then they can't understand why men are slow readers. You know, these are kind of ironic situations. And who are you going to blame for that? The shirt company or you who bought it? You know, you certainly can't blame the men because they're just reading the words, right? So what you want to be able to do is look at your actual motive. A lot of people don't do that. In these kind of situations where people don't necessarily admit to it, there is a psychological issue going on. And this is where you see a lot of the defense mechanism coming up, like the rationalizing, the minimizing, even the complete denial of these situations. And that seductive quality happens not just sexually, but it can happen also in interactions in the office, political situations, even religious situations.
Governments.
Everything can happen anywhere, but you have to be very careful. And this is why it's also so important that when these things happen around you, don't take it personally, which means don't react. Keep it clean. It's always better to take the conservative route when you suspect that these things are being done deliberately. And even if it's not consciously deliberate, and you're picking up on it unconsciously or the other person's unconscious behavior, don't confront them. The reason that it's unconscious is because that person doesn't want to deal with it. And as soon as you confront them on that behavior that they don't want to deal with, they can become very defensive, very outrageous, very accusational. And they may even turn it back on you, and all of a sudden you have a fight on your hands that doesn't need to be fought.
Text message here. When I was in my 20s, there was a theft being investigated at work. I was not remotely guilty, or I had absolutely nothing to do with this, yet I blushed and acted guilty. My manager knew me and didn't allow suspicion to fall upon me. I always wonder why I should have felt guilty when it wasn't me. How do I get beyond this feeling of guilt?
I'm not sure about the word guilt and why she's using that word guilt. There could be shame or embarrassment that actually is part of this. When a person grows up in a home or is in an environment where finger-pointing takes place quite a bit, everybody has a tendency to have anxieties around that. Even if they don't commit the crime, they still feel anxious that they may have been in the environment and could be accused. Some of that might be shyness as well. Any kind of attention that might come towards them, they not take it personally necessarily, but they feel uncomfortable with the fact that they're being attended. And even though they're not guilty, the fact that the attention is there will show similar signs to what would have been there if they were guilty, like the flushness, the dilation of the pupils, heart palpitations. All these kind of things can actually take place just from shyness when a person is being attended to and they're shy. So that gets misrepresented. Fortunately for this person, they're obviously very honest. They're very much a person of integrity and dignity. And the people who work with them know them well enough to realize that they could not be party to wrongdoing. unfortunately, that same person may have been in a place where people didn't know them. And that kind of response could have actually been misread, and they would have been put on an accusation trip in which they didn't deserve.
And it can be hard, can't it, to hold your dignity, your integrity, hold your head up high when you feel around you people are judging you, misrepresenting you. And as you've advised, don't rise to it unless you absolutely have to, unless you are directly challenged where you feel you have to defend yourself. But that can be quite tough to hold on to that sense of self when all around you it feels maybe like people are talking about you or, you know, definitely misrepresenting you.
And misrepresentation is one of the most harmful experiences, because not only is it that you are being seen in the wrong light, how do you defend yourself when you're not guilty of anything? And a lot of times people think that they have to come up with a defense. Now, in some countries, you're guilty until proven innocent. In other countries, you're innocent until proven guilty. In either case, a person who experiences shyness, sense of low self-esteem, they're going to be frightened for no reason, giving the wrong impression. They may even break down and cry. Sometimes people will misinterpret that those tears as tears of guilt, but they're not. There's a difference between embarrassment, guilt, and shame, and this is where people need to clarify. Guilt is actually going to result in resentment. So if you resent that person for accusing you, it may be because you are guilty. But if your embarrassment is there, it's not because you're guilty, it's because you've been spotted unjustly. And also, when it comes to the guilt, the embarrassment, those are indicators of responses. But it's not necessarily because of the person committing a wrongdoing that they're going to have the embarrassment, even though embarrassment may be the result of wrongdoing. Guilt is when there is definitely the wrongdoing, and the person knows that they've taken the responsibility to behave inappropriately. Now, the shame part also comes in, because many times when people feel insecure about who they are, they feel shameful that they've even been put into that category, even that they didn't do it or did it. Mm. The fact that they were put into that category causes them to have shame. Now, what that means is that they give the person who's making the accusation too much power.
Mm.
What you have to remember, who is the source that's making those accusations? What right do they have, or who do they think they are, to make those accusations to you? Put things in perspective. Rather than taking it on yourself, look at who's making those accusations. I remember one thing that I've always heard ever since I was a kid that was kind of cute is anytime you point the finger, there's three fingers coming back at you.
Yes, there's a thought, there's a visual for you. Okay, so connections then with blame and scapegoats and bullying. Now, I can see a connection here between scapegoating. You are using somebody else, you're using them as a scapegoat. Is that a form of bullying? And it doesn't have to be connected with blame so much. It's about, you know, abusing your power, if you like.
That's actually more correct than I would have been able to word it. So thank you for wording it so clearly. But when we see people who do bullying, it's not because anybody else did anything wrong. It's because they're picking on them. They're picking on their physical weakness, maybe their mental weakness. They could be picking on them because of gender or nationality or religion. I mean, how many times have we heard people who say that when it was their particular religious holiday, they were customarily wearing a certain costume, and they would go to school that day with that costume, and the other kids who were not of that religion would laugh at them and make fun of them. What a terrible thing to do, even though you expect that from certain children at certain ages, because they haven't learned the social decorum. You got to ask yourself, why do they feel comfortable enough to do that? What are they not learning at home?
Mm. And so, it doesn't have to be children. It can be adults. It can be in the workplace. It could be even within a family environment between two adults.
And that's unfortunately a commentary on a new generation, where they don't seem to have that natural development and maturity to understand and respect the differences of others and accept others. And that's the important factor, is the difference between tolerance and acceptance. Tolerance is actually a form of arrogance. It's actually saying, I know I'm better than you, I'll just put up the fact that you're not like me, you're different. Acceptance is the fact that we are all different, but respectfully equal in the eyes of the universe.
Someone's texted in saying they have a similar situation in that they, when put on the spot, get red cheeks, they flush, they blush. If I have to speak in any public situations, I get very nervous and get red cheeks again and flush. I can tell that people notice this about me. Why do I have this, and how can I stop it?
It may be a form of anxiety, and again, the person was nice enough to SMS, hopefully while not driving, because that's a long enough SMS, that they are asking particularly about their symptoms. And those symptoms may be that of anxiety. Now, anxiety isn't always having to be suffering heart palpitations, erratic breathing that leads to dizziness, and perspiring and negative thinking and shaking. Sometimes it could actually be that flushness, and that is an autonomic nervous response. Now, those can actually be controlled, especially if they are of the anxiety origin that can lead to phobia. So these can psychologically be managed. Now, in no way would I say to a person, if this is a natural response, you need to learn to manage it. But if it's due to anxiety or some type of panic, then yes, it can be managed, because it's usually occurring at a time when it doesn't need to occur. So there needs to be a differentiation between whether it's a natural response to a situation that deserves that kind of reaction, or is it because the person suffers from anxiety and would have those same symptoms no matter what's going on.